1 minute away. Michelle, I've got 701 if you have people on and want to tell them we're waiting. Michelle? Well, hello, ladies. This is Stephanie Perry Moore. I'm going to go ahead and start the call. I know Michelle is, she's actually got a plane to catch tonight. So talking about Sisters in Faith, we'll be praying she has safe travel. We're very thankful you were able to join us. This is a special night for me as my husband will be the one giving us the great talk. I am just very thankful for our brand and for your heart to even want to get on the call and see what God has in store tonight. We've been blessed with the times that we've been on the call together over the last 4 weeks, and tonight we want to continue that journey and focus in on what sisters can do in raising these young people, particularly our boys, from a man who was raised from a single mother and from a man who leads my family and household so well. So I wanted to see if, Michelle, are you there now? I want to go ahead and take a second and just lead us in prayer and then introduce my husband, Derek, and we'll get started. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for Sisters in Faith. We thank you for us being able to stop in the middle of all that we've got going on to just take a second and lift you up for all that you do for us. It's hard when you talk about young people and when you talk about kids and when you want to have them live for you. But when we say that we want to raise them in a way that they should go, and we're excited to be on the call tonight to get some wisdom so we can figure out how to do this thing your way. Lord, we pray for all the children of all the sisters that are out there that want to do it right and want to see their young people, particularly these boys, grow up in a way that you'd be so proud of, Lord. Just touch the ladies where they are so that whatever boundaries or hindrances or anything that's in their way, you'll remove those. We pray for these kids, Lord, that they be focused and excited and want to do things right. And, Lord, I just thank you right now for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Because of that, there's so much good stuff we can do. In Jesus' name, I do pray, and I thank you for our speaker tonight, Lord. Bless him and give him a great word. Amen.
Stephanie?
Hey, Michelle.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. I was talking, and no one could hear me. I just want to this is Michelle Clark Jenkins. I just want to thank everybody for joining us once again. And I kind of missed out on introducing my friend before she got to introduce her wonderful hubby, Derek. But I just want to tell you that Stephanie Perry Moore, who is my partner and who assisted in writing the Raise Him Up book, is just wonderful. She has she has more than 50 books out in print. And she is a wonderful woman of God. And I got to put that in, Stephanie, before Derek speaks.
You're kind. Well, with it being Valentine's Day in a couple of days, we're pretty excited for this to be the time for Derek and I to get on the phone. The idea for Raise Him Up actually was Michelle's idea. And it was pretty exciting for her to feel like that he had something that he could say to single moms to encourage them, and moms just in general, of even girls, as we've gotten the great feedback since the book has been out. But it's, who is Derek Moore? For me, that is such a fun place to be able to be on the phone with my sisters and just keep it real and leave the bios aside, but tell you he's a man that cares about ladies and he cares about seeing us all succeed. He has been in ministry probably for 20 years now, a former NFL player and a family, a father to our three kids. He's been at Georgia Tech as a developmental coach and chaplain for about 11 years and was at Morehouse before that. Again, so many great things in terms of what he's done, but more so of what I think you'll care about is his heart. And I think you'll feel his passion tonight as he speaks. And with that, Derek, I would say I love you, and I'm excited you're going to be here talking to my sisters.
Well, you're awfully kind. I'm very thankful for you and certainly for Michelle and for the brand of Sisters in Faith. And it's a real honor to serve and be a part of this incredible label. I can't say enough about just watching these projects develop and the impact that they are having in the lives of so many. But I want to say thank you all for giving me a chance to come on board tonight and share some of the stories of my life, but in particular to talk a little bit about Raise Him Up. Of course, I'm a South Georgia boy raised in Albany, Georgia, and was raised in a home where there was a single-parent dwelling. And my mother, who raised three children, I was a middle child, had an older brother and a younger sister. And certainly the collection of Raise Him Up really comes from those experiences. But I've had an incredible passion for moms who are single. And the book is interesting because I don't write the book out of reasons why the mother is single. That's not the message of the book, nor is it what drives us. But the book was written out of the context that she is single. And there is this responsibility to lead the home that's fallen solely on her. And being raised in that environment, I had the experience of watching and seeing my mother embrace that challenge, but also struggle with that effort to accomplish it. But needless to say, she did an extraordinary job, an incredible work, and our lives are a reflection of her commitment to staying in the fire with us. And so tonight I'm very excited to share a little bit about Raise Him Up and really where that passion comes from and the stories themselves and the materials of the book. But what I want to do is really just talk a little bit about sort of what was the catalyst for Raise Him Up biblically, because I think the book is a Bible-centered book in so many ways, but it's really a book that has a biblical element, because I believe there are some things that every mother, in particular single mother, needs to know, needs to grasp to really stay encouraged, motivated, inspired to raise an African-American son, to raise sons or daughters. And I think the book really goes beyond just seeing a successful black man raised, but to see successful children raised. And so I think the dynamics of the book, I think, really resonates greatly right there where she is, and it empowers her to keep on keeping on. Because she may have to go the long road by herself. But the book was written to be an encouragement piece for her, a comforter for her, and a guidebook and an instruction book in helping her plug into and connect with some things that, you know, a man just might say, but also to help her to know that God's given her everything she needs to finish the task, to fulfill the commitment of being mom, and in so many cases, being dad also. And so I'm excited for her, and I would love to read a little bit of commentary from Adam Clark, who is a Bible scholar. And I want to read a little bit of his commentary and some excerpts of my own. And I want to read from the real passage that is the catalyst for Raise Him Up from Proverbs 22 and 6. And I think most of us are familiar with Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I certainly am a firm believer that you can't do anything without Christ. You can't do anything successfully without the Lord. You can't have any successful sustainability without God being in it. You take him out of it, it collapses. And that was the one thing I think resonates the greatest about living in the home with my mother, is that my mother was first and foremost a God-fearing woman. She feared God, and she preached that to us in the time in which we lived in her home. And so Proverbs 22 and 6 is a passage that I learned a long time ago, but I'd like to unfold it a little bit more for you tonight and maybe give you some Hebrew language and probably translate a little bit of the details of what that passage really means when you look at it theologically, because it truly captures what Raise Him Up is all about. Listen to some of the commentary. The Hebrews taught that nothing was more important than the rearing of a child in godliness. Discipline was an integral part of that training. No reward in life was more satisfying than to have a wise son. And no sorrow was greater than to have reared a foolish son. Now, the phrase train him up or train up, as you can read from the title of the book, Raise Him Up, I want to translate the word train up or raise up. And that word shanak in Hebrew, which we translate train up or raise up or initiate, signifies also the word dedicate and is often used for the consecrating of anything, house or person, to the service of God. So that person is consecrated unto God for God's use, basically. Well, so the word shanak is what Raise Him Up is really translated. Dedicate, therefore, in the first instance, your child to God, and nurse, teach, and discipline him as God's child, whom he has entrusted to your care. Now, listen to the responsibility of parents and children, and I love this commentary because I think it has some accuracy. Parents often fail in their responsibility, but so do children. And regardless of the efforts of the parents, if the children do not receive the training and actively assimilate it into their lives, the result is failure. A puny, undeveloped person might listen to lectures on boxing all of his days and never become an effective boxer in the ring. A one-legged man may listen to the finest instruction in track and never be able to run. Both parents and children have responsibility in the training effort. And in the case of failure on the part of either, the conclusion which Solomon draws does not follow. Often, two sons in the same family and with equal training turn out to be vastly different in disposition and character. The one faithful, the other holy, worldly, and sinful. This can properly be explained only on the ground of differences in the sons and not in the training which they received. The other phrase, in the way he should go, the phrase in the way he should go is often misapplied. The assumption is that it means in the way of righteousness and the true religion, a course which all, both young and old, ought to follow. But his is not what Solomon meant here. The Hebrew phrase from which the words in the way he should go means according to the tenure of his way. That is, in harmony with his disposition, his natural talents, and his individual character. I love this part because when we discover what our children's gifts and talents and natural gifts are and dispositions are, we push them in that direction. What taught here is the obligation of parents to study the nature and disposition of their children and to train them accordingly. This is in harmony with Paul's instruction to the Ephesians and Colossians in Ephesians 6 and 4 and Colossians 3 and 21. Instead of giving all the emphasis to a rigorous standard to be applied indiscriminately, each child's temperament is to be closely considered, and the teaching is to be done so as to achieve the greatest possible adaptation to the child's needs. Well, the last part, when he is old, can be translated. Strangely, the words when he is old are usually interpreted these days to mean when he is grown, has reached adulthood. But this, the passage neither says nor teaches. The affirmation of Solomon deals with the fruits of training in old age. And the meaning is that an individual who has been trained properly in the principles of truth and has lived in harmony therewith until he reaches old age will not then abandon that which has become second nature to him. Seldom indeed do people who have followed the course of rectitude and devotion to God abandon this lifelong mode of living in their declining years. So the scriptures do not teach the impossibility of apostasy. Were to taught here that a child, having been properly taught, cannot fail to be faithful in adulthood, it would be in conflict with many passages asserting that anyone can fail of the grace of God and be lost. Well, I want to close with this final commentary. Let all parents seek, beside training their children in good habits, to win their hearts to that divine wisdom in whose friendship and service alone will they be safe. Where sagacity may fail, affection will triumph. Command and persuasion are the two weapons which parental wisdom will do its best to wield. Let all children understand that for their character and their destiny, they must themselves be responsible. All the very worthiest and wisest influence of home will lead to no good result if they oppose to them a rebellious spirit, if they do not receive them in the spirit of docility. There is but one gate of entrance into life, and that is the personal, individual acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of the Spirit. The parent may lead his child up to it, but the child must pass through it of his own accord. I truly believe that Proverbs 22 and 6 resonates greatly with raise him up. It's the shenak, you know. It is that discipline that really excites the home. And so as I've looked further into it, I want to close really with what I've considered to be five laws that I'll leave you with: the law of the Lord, the law of the land, the law of love, the law of learning, and the law of leadership. And I don't necessarily expound on those in the book, but as you get to read and understand, raise them up, I certainly think that you'll be pretty fascinated with those five laws that, you know, you must teach them the law of the Lord, and the main law being the Ten Commandments, one, the sixth one, and that is that thou shalt not kill. The other one, the law of the land, in teaching them, you know, to understand the laws that govern our world, the law of love, and that's pretty simplistic. You know, that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law of learning, that education is a key that truly does unlock the door in a world that is competitive and capitalistic. And education and knowledge brings power. And then lastly, the very last law is the law of leadership, and it's the result of the first four. I really am excited about Raise Them Up, and I certainly believe that there are elements and instructions and things that I believe single mothers can take from the book that can further empower them to be successful, but to teach their sons significance and to see them both successful and significant in a community of nations. I am very thrilled about it, and I certainly do hope that you all pick the book up. Stephanie, I don't know if I've run out of my time now, but you can transition us into our next phase.
Well, thank you, Derek. I know it's always great to hear your passion, and the five laws are empowering, particularly if we use those to implement into our young people so that they can be great. I want to take the call off of lecture mode in just a second if someone has some questions for Derek or in terms of how best to, with Raise Them Up or anything you want to ask. We want to be able to open up for us all to share, because I think the great thing about this is that, you know, when I was growing up and now the way we're coming along now, it takes a village, you know, to raise these kids. So when we're in this together through prayer, we can certainly make a difference with these young people. So I'm going to take it off and see if someone has some questions.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Well, this is great because you can hear some background, so we're excited to hear folks there.
Are you taking questions now?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, so I have a couple of questions. Sorry, I'm trying to get into another spot. So I have a couple of questions. What if after listening to Derek's preachings, which were wonderful, and I'm also reading his book, which I picked up on Sunday, you realize that as a single mom that you have a few shortcomings going on. How do you go about trying to make the correction so that you, the time that you have left, you are more of a positive, you're going in more of a positive direction than previously?
Let me make certain I understood your question again. Say the last portion again. My phone didn't receive the last portion.
Well, at this point, you know, reading your book and listening to your teachings tonight, and you realize as a single mom, you have a few shortcomings that have gone on in your raising of your single boy by yourself, trying to get through the struggles and the trials. How do you go about making the necessary corrections in the time that your son is still with you before he heads off to college?
Well, you know, what's amazing is that, you know, you can never go back, you know,
right.
and nor can you really be concerned with what's lost, but you do have to focus on what's left. And going back is only an effort that the mom experiences, because if there were things you missed or things you did not implement that you consider to be shortcomings or things that could have further enabled him to be in an even greater position of strength, then it's knowing what those things were and now making the adaptations with what you have left to further develop and take him in the time that's remaining to the place you want to take him to. That information, the fact that you've discovered that you missed on some things, is good, because now you can now implement those new things that can further refine him and prepare him for the next stages in his life.
Okay, I'm going to work with that one, but if not, then I'm going to drop him off at your house and you can...
Well, you're welcome to do that. We'll finish
okay.
the task.
Okay.
Thank you. We have time for one more question.
Can I make a statement?
That would be great, sir.
Yes. Well, I just want to thank minister, preacher Derek, for such a profound exegeting of the scripture. I've been in the ministry for about probably 24 years, and I have never heard that scripture in that manner. My God, he's got my hair standing up on the back of my neck, because oftentimes you often hear that scripture quoted, but never truly spoken in the essence of the translation. And my God, not only, Bert, did you change my theology, but you changed my philosophy. And I thank God for you, brother. And please, I'm going to have to get with you soon. I need them L words.
Well, I consider that to be a high compliment. And certainly, you know, the scriptures are powerful, and they truly are amazing. And I thank you for that. And I certainly hope, you know, our single mothers out there and even, you know, those who are struggling, that the book and more than the book, that our Lord and Savior is the true answer to support and provide for them what they need as they continue the task of raising their sons. I'd love to close us in prayer.
And, Derek, before you do that, I just want to announce for everyone to please join us next week. One, we'll be giving away another Bible and book. Tonight, a lucky winner will be able to get that. Thomas Nelson will take a look at all the callers, and we will be sending a Bible and book to someone on the call tonight. But next week we'll have Kim Cash Tate, who's a phenomenal fiction writer, and she's also a contributor to the Sisters in Faith Bible. And she will be talking from her subject, A Woman's Relationship with God. Arise and get ready. Derek?
Father in heaven, we're so thankful for all of our callers tonight, our listeners, and Father, just an incredible prayer for our single mothers who are doing it, who are amazing people, who are extraordinary mothers who love their sons and daughters. And Father, may you meet them at every place of need. May you strengthen their resolve. May you redeem their days. And Father, may their sons and daughters become the kinds of people that, Father, we are right about and we want to be like someday. Father, may you bless them indeed. May you continue to use them in this earth. And, Father, keep them in your perfect care. So thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Sisters in Faith brand. We pray that you would move mightily. We ask that the voice of this word be sent out among the nations. And, Father, you'll be glorified in it. Thank you again. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys bless us. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.